Blog Talk Radio.
All I want is you. All I want is you. Oh, Jesus. All I want is you. Oh, all I want is you.
Come on, can we just lift our hands and fall in love with you?
But all I want is you.
You are my reward. All I want is you.
All I want.
The reward of worship is God.
All I want is you.
Yes, blessings come, but the reward of worship is God.
All I want is you.
Be healed in the presence of God, but
He is the reward of worship. All I want, He is the price. All I want is You. Oh, 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 oh. All I want is You.
Your weight so come that we can barely breathe. Your glory. Your glory. All I want. The glory. Your person. All I want. Take me in. Take me in. All I been closer. All I want is you. Hold me a little while longer. All I want is you. Take me a little bit deeper. All I want is you.
Thank you.
have your voice now. Praise God. Well, I am so happy that you've tuned into Prophecy Alive, and I'm your host, Roderick. Listen, I'm going to be sharing with you about the Holy Spirit. There is no greater subject than the Holy Spirit. And you know, Jesus, he left his disciples. He said, go tarry in Jerusalem until you be endued with power. Father, tonight I give you praise. I thank you for these, your people across the nation, as we share with them what you have put upon my spirit to share with them concerning the Holy Spirit. God, I pray, God, that the spirit of conviction, the spirit of joy and gladness concerning the Holy Spirit, our comforter would come in and touch that mother and that father and that grandmother and grandfather, and touch every ministry that is hungering and thirsting after righteousness, and touch every family, Lord. And the answer to all complex problems, the answer to anxiety, the answer to fear is the Holy Spirit. Grant it to us, God, as we share and do what you called us to do and share with your people. Fill me, God. Fill us again with the Holy Spirit. Continue, God, as we seek you to fill us with more of you in the name of Jesus. We can't, Lord, think that one filling is the total sum of your glory. God, continue to fill us. Continue to renew us. And I pray that that woman that's depressed, that man that's depressed, that teenager that's depressed, that young adult that's dealing with oppression and depression, I bind every evil spirit that comes against the people of God, those, oh God, that love you and those that are seeking you. I pray, oh God, for those that don't believe in you, I pray that the Spirit of God may bring conviction, oh God, that they may be saved. And God, in Jesus' name, you get the glory out of this broadcast. I thank you, Lord, that you are God. You're sovereign, and no one can stand against you. You have predestinated us for your glory. And God, as we share this word on the Holy Spirit, we invite our good friend, our comforter, the Holy Spirit, to come in every home where there is, seems to be disease and sickness. Cast it out now. I prophesy that there will be a new bill of health upon the families. Oh God, I pray for those that are even, oh God, that are rebellious against you. Lord, the love of God, show them, God, you still love them regardless of what they've done and what they are doing and whatever lifestyle they're living. Oh God, I pray, God, that they may know that you yet love them. Oh God, I'm so excited about this, and continue to bless, Lord, the mothers, Lord, those that are in shut-in, those that are in prison, those that are in nursing homes, regardless, those that have experienced tragedy. I pray, oh God, that the Holy Spirit may be like a blanket and surround them, and the families of the earth may come to know you. We know, God, there's things that are happening on this earth, and God, but we know that you are sovereign. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, again, I'm so ready to share with you what God has put in my spirit. So as you begin to pray,
As you begin to get your word and get your Bibles and get your pen and paper, we're going to share. I'm going to be sharing with you concerning the Holy Spirit. You know, the Holy Spirit is so needed. It has always been needed. We need the Holy Spirit in our everyday life. We cannot make it, I'm telling you, without the Holy Spirit. So many people are trying to preach without the Holy Spirit, trying to pastor without the Holy Spirit, trying to prophesy without the Holy Spirit, trying to run a business, trying to run a marriage, trying to run a home without the Holy Spirit. But it takes the Holy Spirit. No one on this earth is smarter than the Holy Spirit. I don't care how clever you are. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth. And the Lord began to deal with me. I was sharing with my Queen Katrina as we were sharing the Word of God today, that I sense the Holy Spirit saying to me that God wants His people to accept the comfort of the Holy Spirit. So many times when you hear that word comfort, you know, people think of something sad. They think of something that's not good. Well, I want you to know when God says, and you know, Jesus spoke, He said, "I'm going away, but I'm going to send you a comfort, a comforter." He said that. But I want you to know that there is more to the Holy Ghost than we know. We're going to get in this. We're going to help you understand what that word comfort means and how the Holy Spirit will work in your life and how the Holy Spirit, get this now, this is so important. There is no answer but the answer of the Holy Spirit. Listen to me. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth. St. John 16, the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth. In other words, there is no truth except revealed by the Holy Spirit. Now, if you just run in your own world and you're governing your own self and you're living by your own set of rules, of course you won't believe this, but I invite you into this. I speak into that businessman that's having trouble in your business. I speak into that billionaire that's having trouble, listen, in your home. Listen, I don't care how rich you are still going to deal with natural circumstances. Money cannot keep you from dealing with natural circumstances. So I say to you, rich man, rich woman, that you're yet going to need the Holy Spirit. I invite you by love to listen tonight. I'm telling you, it's going to bless you. I'll be right back. This is Prophecy Alive. I am Roderick. The number to call, 347-539-5173. Press 1. I'd be glad to talk to you and pray with you in Jesus' name. I'll be back after this.
Yeah.
as we begin to share with you concerning the Holy Spirit, it's so important that we understand what the Holy Spirit is and how the Holy Spirit functions in our life. First of all, you must understand that the Holy Spirit is a person. It's an actual living being in our lives. What does it mean to comfort? You know, Jesus said, I'm going to send you a comforter. What was he saying when he said that? I'm going to send you a comforter. I was looking at the word comfort. It says one of the definitions is a state of physical ease. And you know, we need that now more than ever. I believe that God wants his people to understand that the Holy Spirit comes to give us physical ease. It also means a freedom from pain or constraint. You hear that? The word comfort means a state of physical ease, a freedom from pain or constraint. It also means the easing of one's person's feelings or grief or distress. Consolation, sympathy. Did you hear that? You see, Jesus recognized the Holy Spirit, and he knew that the people would need his disciples. They were distraught, and Jesus, he died, and he said, listen, I'm going to send you a comforter. I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit that will ease your pain, the grief, or distress. It will console you. Look at the Holy Spirit. Now, another definition of the Holy Spirit, it means to call someone to feel less worried, upset, frightened, to give comfort, to give strength, to give hope, to ease the grief of trouble. You see that? So the Holy Spirit has come to comfort us, but it goes much deeper than that. And we're going to begin to talk, and I want to share with you concerning the Holy Spirit. Why did the Holy Spirit come? Why the day of Pentecost? It was a promise of God. On the day of Pentecost, you know, the book of Acts chapter 2, then the word of God declares that, you know, Jesus had told his disciples to go and tarry in the upper room until you be what? Endued with power. So the Holy Ghost is not only a comforter, the Holy Ghost is power. Power. Dunamis. I said this, and I mean it. I do not believe that we have yet to see the fullness of the Holy Spirit. I believe that we are about to see such a move of the Holy Spirit that it will make all past movements seem not less, but compared to what God is about to do. And this is what I hear in my spirit. It's going to make all past moves of God not insignificant, but small compared to what he's about to do. What was the purpose of the book of Acts? The purpose of the book of Acts was to show how the Holy Spirit called believers, the church, into existence and empowering them. Its rapid spread, it grew fast throughout the Roman Empire. As this happened, Luke could also defend, as he wrote, Christianity against the charge that it was a subservice movement or a subservive movement. It was more than that. since none of the judges or other political authorities who heard Paul and the other believers in Acts find them guilty of any wrong. Luke suggests that Christianity is not a threat to the Roman Empire, and that it should be accorded legal status just like Judaism. Now watch this. But because of the move of the Holy Spirit, it became, as it is today, a threat. A threat to those who claim to be moral, but yet will not submit to the word of God. So here in the book of Acts chapter 2, and we'll see here the story was told of the early church. Luke needed, as he wrote this, to explain how a defeated, whimpering, frightened group of Jesus followers. You see, they were scared. But after the crucifixion, they were scared and became a bold group proclaiming publicly their faith. They began to be bold with their faith that the crucifixion was God. Now, hear this. In the book of Acts, sin was conquered, and Jesus was vindicated by God by being resurrected to life. Now he's seated at the throne of God. Do you understand what I'm saying? Jesus and his three years, was vindicated by the resurrection. Even so we are by a resurrected life. Listen, the enemy hates the resurrected life. See, we were buried with him in baptism. We rose with him. So in our believing life, there is a spirit of resurrection that I believe has not fully come to the body of Christ. Two events I want to talk to you about. Number one, the experience of the resurrection of Jesus. And also the event at Pentecost when the Holy Spirit comes to dwell in the believers in Jesus. And then the language of Acts 2 is due to Luke's attempt to describe an event beyond the ability of language itself. Much like the creation story, you see, of the Sinai story, as the writer wishes to emphasize the significance of an event, he describes it as terms of supernatural. It was a supernatural event. So as we begin to look at the book of Acts, I want you to understand that this was something strange to the people, beyond the bounds of imagination, miraculous, inscrutable, or origin. As far as this writer Luke is concerned, this was the only way one could explain the existence of the church, the book of Acts, this great move of God, the wind of God as it exploded. They heard in Acts 2 a rushing mighty wind. It was not just a blow of air. It was a mighty wind. So as we get into this, we must understand that these timid, scared, afraid disciples were empowered, and God used them mightily. Look at this. What happened in the book of Acts chapter 2? Something first happened, a mighty wind. Think about that for a minute. After the mighty wind, on the day of Pentecost, they were all with one accord. And when the day of Pentecost, verse 1, look at this. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, you see, something has to fully come in your life. You know, some people won't humble themselves until something fully comes. There's a lot of people who feel like, I don't need God. I am my own destiny. Yeah, but there are things that can happen that bring people around to the fact that they need God. Don't let God have to allow something of that sort to cause you to understand that you need God. I beg you. Because you may not feel like you need him now, but things can happen to where you'll change your tune. Oh, I love you. Now, look at this, verse 1, Acts 2. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. Look at that unity. One accord in one place. Although we are universal, the believers, we still should be in one place. We still should be with one accord in one place. Verse 2, Acts 2, watch this. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven. I prophesy to you that there is about to be a sound from heaven. And this sound was as of a rushing mighty wind. There was a sound from heaven, and this sound was of a rushing mighty wind. It was not just a wind. It was a wind at rush. And it filled all the house where they were sitting. Verse 3 says in Acts 2, and there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it set upon each of them. These were not just cloven tongues with no direction. This was a spirit. This was the Holy Spirit. It was fire with a purpose. Now listen to this. They heard first a mighty wind. Then something was seen. Tongues of fire on each of them. This was an Old Testament symbol of God. So God came on them, all to symbolize the coming of the Holy Spirit of God upon the church. The Spirit is the power which enables the church to go public with this good news. Now, I want you to notice something. Most of the church is back in private. Hear me now. It's back in private. You can look at the neighborhoods. You know, the churches are no different than a house. Come on. Because believers are not public. The only time you know they're public is when they have something outside by their church, or they are dismissed. Then you go to the grocery stores. You could just about pick out people who've been to Sunday service. Well, I will say this. God bless everyone, no condemnation. But we're back where we started from. You see, on the day of Pentecost, they didn't go to church, and so to speak, after they were empowered. They went public. Come on here. They were not comfortable simply in the pews. They went public. And I'm telling you something, it's hard to say, and I have a problem with it, that, listen, you have the Holy Ghost and there's nothing public happening. So when the day of Pentecost came, they were filled with the Holy Ghost, and then they were empowered, and then they went public. This was something that verified that something supernatural happened. This was unique. This was unique. And I'm telling you something. There is a great move of God that is coming on the scene in this generation. And I want you to prepare for it. Now, let's look at this. Let's look at this. Now, on the day of Pentecost, look what happened, verse 4. And they were all, I'm in Acts 2, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. The first thing the Holy Ghost does, it tames your tongue. We have untamed believers. If their tongues are not tamed by the Holy Ghost, they have loose tongues. They're still, many of them are still babbling, gossiping, slandering, gainsaying. It's like they're part-time employees of Satan, which is the accuser of brethren. Now, I love you, but this is facts. Because the tongue, and you know it as well as I know it. So many people talk to me and my queen, and they've been so discouraged by the language of those who say they believe. It's not just, you know, anybody could talk about sin. Anybody could talk about sin. No one can condemn anyone because of sin. Romans 3:23, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We could talk about all have sinned, but we need to deal with short of the glory of God. God wants to put glory on us. There is glory that God has for every believer. So God's people are yet in the need of taming the tongue, I'm telling you. Because until the tongue is tamed, then you really won't see the full movement of the Holy Ghost. Isn't this amazing how they began to speak with tongues? God began to tame their tongues. He began to take over their tongues. So they began to speak in tongues. Look at verse 5 of Acts chapter 2. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men out of every nation. Now you got to watch this now. There were other people around out of every nation. Now when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded because that every man heard them speak in his own language. They were troubled. And they were all amazed, verse 7, and marveled, saying one to another, behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? And how hear we every man in our own language wherein we were born? You know, they heard people speak in Parthians, Medes, Elamites. And those dwellers of Mesopotamia and in Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, Asia. You see, all of these people begin to speak. Jews, proselytes, Arabs. And they begin to speak in tongues, languages. And they heard the wonderful works of God. Now, there was no CDs to teach them how to speak in other languages. This was an empowering of the Holy Spirit, which means he wanted the church to go public. Come on here. He wanted us to go public. That's why many Christians hide within their churches and they treat others less than themselves because they are not public. Come on in here. They are not public. That's why many believers gainsay and talk about other Christians. Because they are afraid to go public. But the Holy Ghost took over their language. Now get this. Now, in Old Testament, the people, Nimrod, they tried to build a tower, the Tower of Babel, and they were confounded. And they were confused. No one knew what anyone was talking about. They were unedified. But on the upper room, God's tower, they were filled with languages. So that people from all around the world heard these Galileans speak in all of these other universal languages. Now, I tell people all the time. Now, I want you to hear this, and I spoke this in a conference, and I'm going to share just a little bit with you. Listen closely. Most of the body of Christ are like Babel. Yeah, the Holy Ghost will cause you to speak in a tongue through, you can feel the thrust of God. But I want you to hear something. I never will forget speaking at a church that was all Spanish. The Holy Ghost fell on me, and I spoke in Spanish. I don't know Spanish, but I began to preach from the book of Galatians in Spanish. I had not taken up any language courses. I did not learn language, didn't have any CDs, didn't go on YouTube to learn. This was the empowering of the Holy Spirit. Now, listen closely. Listen closely. The modern day church, the religious church, are yet speaking in unknown tongues, not for edification, but for glorification, trying to prove I'm spiritual by how much of the unknown tongue I can speak in. Now, I want you to hear this. I want you to hear this now. On the day of Pentecost, God empowered these men and women to speak in other languages of other cultures and other people so that they could hear the good news of the resurrection of the gospel of Jesus. What a manifestation if the body of Christ, even Apostle Paul dealt with, if there's someone that is speaking in an unknown tongue, there should be an interpreter. Most of what we are hearing is babble. Most of the time, I never speak in tongues without an interpretation. There are times, I said, that the Holy Spirit will come upon you, but I promise you, there must be an interpretation, whether it's prophecy, whether it's comfort, or something must be spoken. When I was younger, I was so excited about receiving the Holy Spirit until I began to speak in tongues. But the Holy Ghost began to convict me and began to show me that there must be edification. When you receive this language, it's for your building up of your most holy faith. It's for your intimate time. It's you and God in your love chamber. Come on here. But just to, I heard a young man, he called himself prophesying to somebody, and he spoke in tongues the whole time. That is a sign of immaturity in the spirit. I condemn no one. Oh, no, I love you. But receive this truth. Receive it. It'll do you good. I promise you. I'll be right back after this.
Makes folks say I'm acting strange.
Well, I'm back here, and I cannot wait to deal with this. And it is so important that we understand, before we can really understand the gifts of the Holy Spirit and the workings of the Holy Spirit. And I've dealt with briefly about the book of Acts, how they received the Holy Spirit. They were empowered, and they spoke with tongues. And these tongues wasn't a bunch of babble-jabble. These tongues was actual languages around the world. You see, because what God wanted to do, he wanted to edify the whole entire world. And the only way he could edify is cause these Galatians, the Galileans to speak in tongues of other tongues of nations around the world. And they knew that these people did not speak in all of these different languages. Now, I want to take you to something. Then we're going to get into something. And I believe that Satan, with his wicked self, wants to tie up the tongues of believers so that they will never be edified. Several ways he does that is through gossip, through gainsaying, even though the Bible says in Galatians 6, if any person is overtaken in a fault, you which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering yourself. Now, listen, most believers, and the whole world knows this, the church is full of spiritual paparazzis. They keep quiet about it because it's a secret. But if you're going to be full of the Holy Ghost, you got to give him your tongue. Glory to God. You got to give him your tongue. You can say, I looked at my hands and my hands look new. You can say, I looked at my feet and my feet look new. You know, that's what they said back in the day, you know, and I feel like a new person. Yes, yes. But they never said, I looked at my tongue and my tongue looked new. The tongue remain old. Who can tame this tongue? And the Bible tells every believer how to treat believers. I don't care if it's in a case of sin. I don't care if it's in a case of fault. Now the church is going to have to deal with people who have become something that is not natural. And then God is going to say, now, how are you going to deal with this? Well, this is nothing new, because the church acts like they're afraid of the homosexual community. But there's been homosexuals in the body of Christ from the beginning. Come on here. So we have to learn how to love. Charity starts at home. And, you know, if you only want to deal with saved folk, if you only want to deal with people who are not a challenge to your spirituality, then you listen, you might as well go to heaven. But if you're going to be used of God, you've got to learn to deal with all people. Look at this. I want you to see this. This is so good. Jude chapter 1, let's look at verse 20. Jude chapter 1, verse 20. It says, but ye beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith by praying in the Holy Ghost. Listen to this. The New Living Translation says, but you, dear friends, you must build each other up in your most holy faith. Pray in the Holy Spirit. Pray in the power of the Holy Spirit. Did you see that? Pray in the Holy Spirit when you deal with, you must build up each other. You don't tear each other down and then say, I got the Holy Ghost. No, you have a ghost, but not the Holy Ghost. You build each other up, whether you are the recipient of having someone transgress you or be in debt to you, or you're the one. Come on, you're the one that trespasses or in debt to someone else. Yet, you must build each other up in the Holy Ghost. Consider yourselves. You know, I said this, and I want to repeat it because it's so important that believers understand this. Now, listen closely. When someone in the body of Christ, and naturally, I'm a protective person. When someone in the body of Christ falls, in many cases, it's an opportunity for those who have fallen or those who are in debt to take a breather, a recess, if you will, and begin to bite and devour someone else because the light is not shining on your debt. The light is not shining on your particular mistake or sin. The body of Christ has to stop eating baby food and get some steak concerning the Holy Spirit. Now, if the Holy Spirit is in you, then the Holy Spirit is going to cause you to be a builder and not one that tears down. Now, many have the misunderstanding that the truth tears down. No, the truth builds up. I love you so much. I promise I do. But the truth, it builds up. Somebody preached a demonic message and said the truth hurts. There is nowhere in the Word of God that says the truth hurts. What the truth does, it makes you free. The word Jesus said it. You shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. So the truth makes you free. A lie hurts you. A lie puts you in bondage. So look at the Holy Ghost. Acts 2. When the Holy Ghost came, there was a wind. There was fire. Tongues of fire set upon each of them. And they began to speak with a language, a known language around the world. A witness. Oh, I'm so overwhelmed in a good sense by the Holy Spirit. I love it because the Holy Spirit is that which builds us up. Now, I want to show you something here, and we're going to deal with 1 Corinthians. We're going to deal with the 12th chapter and then the 14th chapter. You know, the 13th chapter tells you if you don't have love, you can speak in tongues like angels. You can give your body to be burned. If you don't have love, it profit you nothing. 1 Corinthians 12 deals with the Holy Spirit. And then 1 Corinthians 14 deals with the Holy Spirit in tongues. Now, I want to talk to you. Many of us, we have seen counterfeits. You've probably seen a counterfeit bill. The danger of a counterfeit bill, if you ever seen one, it lies in its close resemblance to the genuine. You know, something that's counterfeit, it has to look like the original, the authentic. You know, so like counterfeit money, I choose to use this as an example. Counterfeit money is badly printed. It doesn't stay in circulation very long. It's soon discovered, you know. You ever went to a grocery store and somebody, you see they take your $20 bills and your $50 bills and so on, and they'll hold it up to a light, and they got special instruments that can reveal whether it's a counterfeit printed money in circulation, and it doesn't last very long. If it is accurately printed, it can sometimes cause considerable damage to our economy or economic system. The less we have counterfeit, the more better the currency is in operation. You know, there's always a test of whether something is true or false. And God is warning his body to understand this. So I must minister this to the body of Christ. It is impossible to know without a genuine. For otherwise, listen, you have no basis for comparison. So if something is counterfeit, you need something that's genuine. To test it or to compare it. You understand what I'm saying. So we must understand that there's a widespread manifestation today when it comes to tongues, even in past times, past years, but is yet going on when it comes to speaking in tongues, whether it's true or whether it's false. Whether it is genuinely of the Spirit of God or comes from another source, and it is counterfeit, a counterfeit gift. Many are operating in a counterfeit gift. As I said about money, you can tell those who are operating in a counterfeit gift, their total aim is money. Now, I love you, but let me say this. I believe in prosperity. I believe I pray for billionaires every day. I believe that God was supernaturally, as he did Abraham, he will supernaturally cause you to be rich. He will give you power to get rich. But I will also tell you, I believe it's without human motive. It's without a spirit to gain falsely. So anyone that calls himself operating in the Holy Ghost, it is a counterfeit. It's not of God if your total aim is for finances. Hear me. And this is why it's so important to study the true gifts of tongues, the true manifestation of the Holy Ghost, the New Testament tongues. And even in the Old Testament, there were times of tongues. Because if you have ever seen people use this and speak in tongues, according to the Word of God, there would be interpretation. Anything that claims to be the tongues of the Spirit today, but is not like that represented in the scriptures, in the Word of God, it is false. No matter how sincere it is offered or how helpful it may appear to be to someone or to you, it is false. It's not of God. If you take the Word of God seriously, and I doubt if you could disagree with it, it must serve as the basis for the measurement, that is the Word of God, on the tongue issue. And so, listen, let's look at this. The true tongues of the Spirit that we may lay it alongside what we are seeing today. First, the true gifts of tongues is a normal language. Let me say it again. I just read to you in the book of Acts. This was a normal language. It's so important now. Look at Acts 2 again. I'm going to read this again. Acts 2 and 4. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues. Not unknown tongues. Other tongues. You hear that? As the Spirit gave them utterance. So you know that the Spirit of God can give you other languages. I would say this in the body of Christ. Because the body of Christ is you notice it when any known preacher or someone falls, the body of Christ jumps on it. It becomes the minority of people that stand up and show the love of God and forgiveness. Yes. So the Holy Spirit gives you control. The Holy Spirit gives you discipline with your mouth. Let's go to Mark 16. I want to show you something. Book of Mark's, Mark chapter 16. I want to show you something here. I love it. I love it. I love it. I love it. Here we are. Yes, yes. Chapter 16. The book of Mark, chapter 16. Look at verse 17. And these signs shall follow them that believe in my name. They shall cast out devils, and they shall speak with new tongues. New tongues. This was not talking about tie my bow tie. Cadillac coming on a cloud. You understand what I'm saying? This was a known language. Look here, Acts 2 and 4. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Don't you know the Spirit? I'll tell you something. Try this and see how God bless you. Try this. If something happens to you, if someone does you false, ask the Holy Ghost to give you a tongue. Ask the Holy Spirit to give you utterance what to say. I promise you, if the Holy Ghost gave you utterance, you wouldn't say anything negative about anyone. I don't care if they're wrong. I had someone do something to me that in the natural it was wrong, but the Spirit of God gave me utterance and I showed the forgiveness. Do you understand? I showed the forgiveness of God. So when the Holy Ghost is on your life, you need to ask God to give you utterance. Come on. All of us need that. Now look at this. Look at this now. Mark 16, we read it. Verse 17, and these signs shall follow them. One of the signs is they will cast out devils, and they will speak with other tongues. Did you hear that? That's the Holy Spirit. Let's look at it again. I got to read it again. Mark 16 and 17. And these signs shall follow them that believe in my name. They shall cast out devils, and they shall speak with new tongues. It's a new tongue to you because you don't speak in it. If you are an English speaker, the new tongue to you would be to speak in French. If you're going to be a witness to those who speak French or Spanish, that would be a new tongue. That's why the gospel is not as powerful as it should be. I'm not saying everybody would do this, but I will say on the day of Pentecost, they spoke in other tongues. Now, what has happened in the body of Christ, spiritual immaturity have been in such a long time until people try to prove how spiritual they are by how many tongues they speak in. Or how much tongues. I can speak in tongues for an hour, I heard someone say. I can speak in tongues and I have the gift of tongues. That is not the gift of tongues. The Holy Ghost could come upon you. As I said, I preached in Spanish. Don't know Spanish, have not spoken it since. I'm not talking about get some CD and learn Spanish. I'm talking about a supernatural manifestation of the Holy Spirit that will cause a person to speak in a known tongue. We must understand this. So this is what happened on the day of Pentecost. So what happened? It wasn't some unknown tongue in the sense in the book of Acts that it is different from any language spoken on earth. No, it is spoken somewhere on earth. If it is the true gift of tongues, somebody else speaks it. This rule, I'm telling you in love. Out of all gibberish, slammering, sluttering, and all of this repetitive sounds, and at this point, I want you to understand that many people are doing this, and they don't know this, is being influenced by the enemy. See, the scripture says Satan is the author of what? Confusion. Confusion, confounded, like the Tower of Babel. I call it Babyland. That's why so many believers are, they speak in tongues, slander, gossip. Why is it that in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, the verse that says, study to show yourself approved. Let's go there. 2 Timothy. Go there with me. Oh, I love you so much. Glory to God. That's right. Where are you, Timothy? Praise God. I want to show you something here. 2 Timothy chapter 2, the beginning at verse 15. Listen to this. Study to show thyself approved unto God, not the Sunday school teacher, not the pastor. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needed not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Now listen to this. Right under that verse, which you don't hear much, it says, but shun profane and vain babblings. It's the Tower of Babel. For they will increase unto more ungodliness. Increase unto more ungodliness. Look at 1 Timothy 4. Excuse me. 1 Timothy 4 and 7. It says, but refuse profane and old wives' fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. Look at verse 8. Listen closely. 1 Timothy 4 and 8. For bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. Now listen to this. Bodily exercise, it profits little. Gossip profits little. Gainsaying profits little. Come on. So it is impossible for a person to claim to be full of the Holy Ghost and full of lies. Come on. You know, I have attended meetings. You know, I've been ministering, you know, since the age of 14, and this is day one for me, and I have not apprehended but many revivals, and I have attended scores of meetings where so-called tongues have been in evidence, and very frequently it is absolutely crazy to hear people just speaking in tongues, and no one, there's no prophecy, there's no exhortation, there's no comfort, no one interpret. It's like almost hysterical repetition, syllables over and over again. You know, sometimes it's the same syllable. If you open your eyes, people, you can go to one church and go to another church that's affiliated with that church. They'll be speaking in the same tongue. They're speaking the same tongue. You can go to, especially if you're in a district meeting. I love you. You know, you in this district meeting, and the only folk you hang around is in your district. You know, we got a bunch of coward Christians. They can only get along with people who they think are like them. And they don't like all of them. But you go to this district meeting, you go to this church, and they will speak in tongues. That there is this tongue, I believe, is sharpening the mouth for gossip. I believe it's witchcraft in the mouth. Do you hear what I'm saying? They speak in tongues, praise God, and it sounds just like this church and that church. They can be 300 miles away, but because they fellowship together, they take on a language. It's like a baby that's born by English-speaking parents. Put that baby with some Spanish. After born, put that baby with some Spanish parents. That baby will take on the language of his or her upbringing. Do you hear me? So you got people in the same denomination, in the same district, and these outlandish district meetings, and people will speak in tongues the same. Write it down. I can spell some of them out. I love you. I promise I do. God wants his people to be delivered from Babyland. He wants his people to be delivered from Babyland. Now, see, a lot of people tonight, you see, as you listen on the internet and you don't call in, I understand. And I'm not on this broadcast to have people call in. I'm not on this broadcast for likes on Facebook. I'm not on this broadcast to be liked. I'm on this broadcast because obedience is better than sacrifice. You know, I told a young preacher one time, he got up to preach. He was talking to this woman. He spoke in tongues about 10 minutes. There was no interpretation. And he just said a bunch of mental words. And then spoke in tongues. Said another set of mental words. And then spoke a tongue again. Said another set of mental words. And then spoke in tongues. I pulled him aside. I said, what were you doing? You left that person confused. And this is due to many, many leaders not understanding what the Bible, the Word of God says. I'm going to show you something. This is one of the greatest problems in the body of Christ. Let's go to the book of Acts, chapter 2. Now, we saw there where the Holy Ghost came, and the Holy Ghost filled all of the house. Now, I don't believe that it's just the place, the geographical place where they were. I believe it's talking about the bodies that were there in the upper room. I believe that. Let's go to, I want to say this, and I don't want to, I feel God is pressing me to say this. One of the greatest problems in the body of Christ is the fivefold ministry that man has taken upon himself. Ephesians, go there. Chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. I want you to see this. Ephesians chapter 2. I'm going to start at verse 19. You get time, read the whole thing. But Ephesians chapter 2, verse 19, 20 through 22. Listen to this. This is one of the greatest problems in the body of Christ. Verse 19, Ephesians 2. Now, therefore, you are no more strangers. Ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. See, we are no more strangers, foreigners, but we are fellow citizens with the saints, the believers, and of the household of God. Look at verse 20. And are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto a holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for an inhabitation or a habitation of God through the Spirit. Listen, verse 22. In whom ye also are builded together now, for an habitation of God through the Spirit. Now watch this. Verse 20. And are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself, no one else, being the chief cornerstone. Now, I love you, But many churches are not built on the foundation of apostles and prophets. They're built on the foundation of pastors and bishops and their own mechanical, man-made prophets. And then you wonder why the body of Christ is so in need. But I speak good news. If you would hear what the Spirit is saying to the church tonight, and if you are not too prideful to look at the Word of God and read it and ask the Holy Spirit, according to St. John 16, the Spirit of truth, which leads and guides us into all truth. You know, you have to have the apostles and prophets in order for the church to be to be in the will of God. I'm telling you. Ephesians 4:11-13, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some teachers. Did you hear that? And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. Why? Why? Verse 12 of Ephesians 4, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Three things. Three things. Verse 13, till we all come into the unity of the faith. And people say, how come we're not unified? Well, the hand of God has been tampered with. Because pastors have exalted themselves above the apostolic. And they have taken to themselves to accept bishops in place of the apostles. And Catholicism is reigning throughout the body of Christ. Now listen to this. Listen to this. God wants the body of Christ to return to the truth. And leaders are responsible. Spending time babbling, gossiping is no good. You're not helping anyone. You're just raising a gossiping church. There are apostles and prophets that are coming that would have power over nature itself. They would be, there's a new breed at hand with revelations, power, prophetic insight not seen since Christ himself was on earth. You understand? It's here. It's here. We got to, when you read Ephesians 4:11, I'm speaking to leaders. You must understand that this is God's word. This new breed of apostles and prophets who will empower the church to take dominion over the world before Christ returns. Christ gave apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers until we achieve the unity of the faith and the fullness of the stature of Christ. It's all about becoming Christ. Nothing else. Jesus didn't come here to leave and send the comforter for what? The comforter is like the seed of a man going into his wife, giving birth to children. The Holy Spirit is like that. It's godless seed in us to produce Christ, no different than Mary gave birth to Christ. But this time, producing the nature of Christ. I'm going to have more time to get into this. I'll be right back after this.
as we stand on your word. Holy Spirit, rain
Well, I am so glad that you tuned in, and as we began to share with you what the Word of God says, and as we gave you just briefly on the gifts of tongues and the New Testament church, I would say to everyone and to every leader, re-examine God's Word and make sure your churches are built upon God's Word and not some district or denomination. Do that and God will continue to bless you. Well, this all the time I have for today. Me and my Queen Katrina, we will yet be praying as we continually to labor in his vineyard, speaking to so many people from around the world. I don't want you to be a spiritual wimp. I want you to understand that the Holy Spirit is the greatest gift, the wisdom of God. Get into that 1 Corinthians 12, the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And you notice the first two gifts mentioned is the word of wisdom and the word of knowledge. Those are the most important gifts of the Holy Spirit. Do you understand? It's the gift of the Holy Spirit. Do you understand? The gifts of the Holy Spirit deals with more than just healing and miracles. That's the easiest part of the Holy Spirit. But the spiritual gift of wisdom, like the gift of knowledge, is the word of wisdom or the utterance of wisdom. You see, this Greek word for wisdom is Sophia, and it refers to the intimate understanding of God's word and his commandments, which results in holy and upright living. You understand, 1 Corinthians 12 and 8, it means to speak to the life of an individual or to a specific situation with great understanding and a righteous perspective with goals of guiding others toward a life of holiness and worship. And this, what you heard tonight, is through the gift of wisdom. Seek wisdom. Seek wisdom. Don't seek to be spiritually fancy, but seek the wisdom of God. All the other things will follow. Well, God bless you. I love you so much. Until Tuesday, we'll be back on Prophecy Alive. The Lord is willing to bring us into the fullness. And there are many people that are growing in the Spirit, and they are not fooling with babbles and babels. Come out of babyland and come into the fullness of Christ. I love you so much. God bless you, and God keep you. God keep you.